lifting our eyes above our circumstances to Jesus, next on Sound Doctrine.
God's plan is that we would count it all joy and glory in trials and tribulations, right? Count it all joy when you enter in. How can you do that? By eyes on Him. It's always been that way. If you look at your circumstance, your situation, you're going to go, I hate it. I don't like what I'm going through right now. Well, kick them off what you're going through and get them on Him. Get into the Word. Let the Lord minister to you and encourage you.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Glad you could join us as another Sound Doctrine hits the airwaves. Pastor Jeff Johnson will join us in a second, continuing our study in Ecclesiastes. Left off in chapter 3 and verse 11, God is wanting to do a beautiful work in our lives and make something beautiful out of our lives. And that comes shining through in this passage, which emphasizes His time. God makes all things beautiful. Let's join Pastor Jeff there now, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
So, we are in Ecclesiastes, and we are going to finish chapter 3 of this amazing, small, but very powerful little book. I've heard people say about Ecclesiastes, oh, that's a bummer. Yeah, it is. And it's got some real in-your-face stuff. And it's a good picture of the world. And it's a good picture of the flesh and of the enemy, Satan himself. I mean, hey, we don't live in a very beautiful place. Well, the mountains are beautiful, and all the what God created is beautiful, but whoa. I mean, some people are running out of L.A., Sam. I'm out of here, you know? And they just can't wait to get out. But, no. Jesus wants us in L.A. He wants us right where we're at because He's doing a work, and He's not done. Solomon has been looking at the cycles of life, various seasons in his journey to find happiness. He's searching to grasp meaning. Is there anything meaningful in this world? But all he found was life is mundane, it's boring, and what you sow eventually will be reaped, and what you build eventually will fall apart, and you love, but it's followed by hate. And you have peace, but soon there is going to be war. So, just a cycle of, it's not fun. Life is so meaningless. Now, our times are boring. And they can get really monotonous and really boring if we let them. Because life doesn't serve up good stuff. In this world under the sun, okay? But verse 11 is where we left off. Notice verse 11. He says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He hath set the world in the heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I like that. In His time, He makes all things beautiful, meaningful. And here Solomon is in a kind of a backslidden state. He was doing really good for a little while, and then all of a sudden things fell apart, starting with his son, probably. He sure mentions him a lot in Proverbs. But he struggled. And the reason he struggled, you go back, and here's your homework for tomorrow or later on today. Deuteronomy chapter 17. That's all you have to do. Just read that chapter, and you're going to understand why Solomon was so messed up. And the reason he was messed up is because he disobeyed the Lord. The Lord says, I want you to do, when you become king, I want you to not do three things. Please, listen to what I'm saying. I don't want you to gather a harem and a lot of wives. He just told him that. He said, well, and he rationalized somehow where he married, 1,000 wives and concubines, and he picked pagan women to marry. Well, right there is a problem. And God knew he would have many problems in disobeying that one, let alone he loved riches. And he looked at gold like, ooh, it's yellow. It glistens in the sun. I want to get all that I can get. And he gathered riches around him from all over the world. And God said, don't do that. And he hoarded horses. I mean, he had so many horses. When you go to Israel, we just start pointing out all of the stables. This is Solomon's stables. This is Solomon's stables. This, he had stables over here. He had stables. He had every horse in the world, I think. Why would he do that? And why would God say, don't do that? Because horses is a figure of strength. It's like building up your arsenal. And he had thousands of the most beautiful horses you ever saw to go into battle. God says, I don't want you to trust in horses. Some trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord. And I want you to trust in me, not in what you surround yourself with, the things of the world. That's for all of us. But he didn't listen. He wanted to do it his way, like Frank Sinatra. Where's he at today? I don't know. Anyhow. He makes all things beautiful. He's creator. He set eternity in our hearts to worship him. God, you are worthy. We give you praise and honor and glory. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all these things. For you created us. And for thy pleasure, we are and were created. That's what Revelation 4:11 says, created for him and his pleasure. When you're doing his pleasure, you're blessed. When you're not, you'll find yourself as Solomon in a backslidden, weird thing going on and a whole lot of trying to find meaning and reaching out, never getting there. So, man suppresses these things. Over in Romans, the down spiral of man, Romans chapter 1, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became empty in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So man just kind of dumped all that and said, nah, I'm not going there. This thing of eternity and God. And it's very natural, really, when you think about it, to believe, because we are created in his image and his likeness. So he's got this thing that's within us. It's called a void. And Romans talks about it in 8 verse 20, that we were created with this vanity, this emptiness. God created us with an empty void. Why? So we would look through the world and try to find the things of the world, see if it would fit and see if it would satisfy. And nothing did. It's almost like we're doing our own Ecclesiastes. We're our own Solomons, going through it. It's true. As we go through here, think of what you're going through. There's the only one thing that satisfies. And that's that Jesus is a perfect fit. And when he comes in, all of a sudden, all the things that you ever wanted, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm talking about above in heaven, in your heart, in your mind. You put on the mind of Christ, you start to look at things as he looked at things when he was here. He helps you to understand where we're at, what's going on. He gives you an incredible insight, and he gives it to any of his children that want to look up. Set your affection, your passion on those things above, not on the things of this earth. They'll rip you off every single time. So it takes really hard work not to believe. There's a little story about Murph the Surf. Murph the Surf loved, he loved surfing. I mean, look at his name, Murph the Surf. He'd go down there and meet the guys on the beach every single time and, you know, to see what was going on. And he went down to the beach this one day and all the guys were just kind of kicking cans and just griping. And there was all kinds of, you know, things they were saying, you know, I don't want to say. And they were angry. There was no waves. It was flat. It was cold. It was just miserable out there. And so Murph comes walking up whistling. He's just, man, he's floating. He's just happy. And they're just looking at him. What is wrong with that guy? He evidently isn't looking out at the water. Hey, Murph, what's up? What's going on? Why are you so happy? Look at the waves. Look at what's going on. We're going to have to go feed our face now and get bigger because there's no surf. So how are we going to get our exercise? Why are you so happy? He says, hey, guys, I've got eternity on my mind. And man, when that happens, wherever you're at, whatever's going on, forget it. You know, it doesn't bother me. I've got eternity on my mind. That's what he's saying here in verse 11. God maketh, he says, no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end except those that are in the Lord. Because those that are in the Lord get this happening in their brain and in their hearts. They realize that life doesn't end. It goes on. And you're excited about so much, especially when you start to, you know, see your loved ones go home. And hopefully they go home. And then you start longing for home. You realize, this is not my home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. Little time. We touch down and then we're out of here. But man, you start looking up more. And eternity begins to fill your mind and heart. That's a place of sweet victory. So again, man was created in his image and likeness, but man chose to do his own thing. And then the fall came. That's what we call when man lost it. In the beginning, Adam and Eve. Adam bombed big time, and so did Eve. And because of that, all humanity was brought forth in sin. Got the first Adam, and then you got Jesus, the second Adam. What a change, huh? Look at what he did. Whoa, that was bad. But look at what he did, and we're here together. Isn't this wonderful? We are together in Christ. Think about that. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here right now. And some of you are saying, but I don't know him. That's okay. You can get to know him today. So for those that have been cut off from God because of sin, they're left to no clear direction, no idea of God's plan. See, man needs to just humble himself before a holy God and repent. Bottom line, Lord, what will you have me do? Now you created me, and now that I see that I'm a mess, then can you clean it up and can you help me? And what do you want me to do? I'm just here for you now. I've hit the wall enough times. So, you see, he doesn't want us to be living as a taker. He doesn't want us to be living as a user. You're just using and taking and using and taking. No, he wants us to be a good receiver and a good thanker. You know, just thanking the Lord for what he's doing in your life today. Is there anything else? I mean, who's in charge and large? He is. So it's all about this. And this is just secondary. See, that's Ecclesiastes. That's what's going on here. Look at verse 12. He says, I know that there is no good in them, in the things in this world and what's going on. Life is hard. Come on. Have you realized that? Relationships are hard. Do you understand that? You know, work is hard. and I wish I could have had an easier job, you know. And it just everything's the alarm that goes off in the morning. That's hard. You know, everything is not real beautiful and easy in this place, right? So life's hard. But notice verse 12. For a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Look at verse 13. And also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor. Hey, it is the gift of God. Interesting. You see, there's nothing better than to what? Rejoice. And again I say, Paul said, rejoice. Why would he rejoice in this funky place? Because he's realized there's something bigger than what's going on here. There's something more important that's going on here. And when you start to get your eyes on him, there is a rejoicing that takes place. That you realize I'm a child of God. And look what God has done. But he says, to do good. Here's our business. You want to know what to do? Do good in your life. Remember E.T.? Be good. That's what the Lord's saying. Be good, man. And start to rejoice. How can I do that? That's a hard life. Hard knock life. You know, how can you do that? It's only in him. He changes everything. So eat, drink, and enjoy your labor. I mean, when you want something to eat, you just drive in. You just go, I want that, and they dump it in your car. And you drive away. You can go anywhere and get anything. Rejoice in that. We're so blessed, but we don't get it because we live in it and we just take it for granted. And we're bummed out about eating. We get bummed out. I'm never coming back here. Filthy food. You know, and eat, drink, enjoy. That's a key word there. Enjoy the good of all his labor. God went out of his way to come to this filthy place and to give us his son, his only son. To die on that cross so we could have a new life. Wow. It is a gift of God. He has given us the greatest gift ever given to this planet. To know him, Lord, help us to enjoy life now. God's plan is that we would count it all joy and glory in trials and tribulations, right? Count it all joy when you enter in. How can you do that? By eyes on him. It's always been that way. If you look at your circumstance, your situation, you're going to go, I hate it. I don't like what I'm going through right now. Well, kick them off what you're going through and get them on him. Get into the word. Let the Lord minister to you and encourage you. That's why this book is here. That's why we need to be in it. To be grateful. Until he comes, he wants us to just, you know, experience life and be about our Father's business. You see, when we're about our Father's business, when we got our eyes on him and we're sharing with people about Christ and telling people that Jesus loves them, I've just started to make it part of my life just to, every time I get In-N-Out Burger or whatever, you know. Jesus loves you. Did you know that? You know, you can just share that with them. You know, you don't know what that leaves them with. That guy just told me Jesus loved me. And I've got all these fries and, you know. Jesus loves me. Where's he at? You know, just puts a seed in them. It really rocks their world. People don't go around saying that. Why not? Because he does. And eventually you get to share your testimony. You get to share what he's done for you and how he pulled you out of what you were into. And you've got a testimony that's powerful, and you need to give it to him. There's this guy, British minister, William Stangster, and he had a muscular disease. It was incurable. And he said, there's four things that I'm just going to do from this point on that I know where I'm at. I'm never going to complain, number one. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep my home bright. I'm going to count all of my blessings. Because I'll tell you this, If you could put your blessings on this sheet and put your curses on this sheet, your blessings are going to be so many more. So quit groveling. Quit saying this and that, nothing's working. And no, you got to get your face out of the dirt and look up. We've been given so many blessings. And start to be grateful and joyful in the Lord. Life's a gift from God. Look at verse 14. He says, I know, and there's certain things we can know. Remember, he said over in verse 12, I know. There's some things we can know. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, so he now includes God in the whole scene. Whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. You can't add to it, nor take anything away from it. God doeth it that men should fear before him. God's in control. He's eternal. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in a great God who's doing great things. Treasures in heaven, you know. We're casting our care upon him because he cares for us. And those treasures, the dividends in heaven, they're going to be so awesome. You know, anytime we do that, anytime we cast our cares, anytime we do it as unto the Lord, those are just, you're cashing in. It gets better and better. Go with me to Ecclesiastes, the very end, and we're going to cheat a little bit here. We're going to look at what is the end of all these things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. So in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Okay, we're going to put an end to this whole thing. What does he say? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What? This is it? Fear God? Well, I feared my dad from beating me. Whoa, do I have to fear God that way? No, he's not even talking that way. This fear is different than fearing someone that's going to beat the tar out of you. This fear is a reverence. And we even read it out of Psalm 111. His name is reverent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What do you mean? Well, you walk humbly before God. You realize he's creator. He's God and you're not. And so you let go of the wheel. And you just go, okay, this is going to be heavy. You mean I don't run my own life? No. He's in charge. And he allows everything that we go through. Remember the first starting of this? He makes all, in his time, he makes everything what? Beautiful. So God's trying to do a beautiful work in our lives, trying to get our attention, number one. And then he's trying to make something beautiful out of our lives. Come on, you can't blame him. He loves you. He gave his son for you because he saw a pearl of great price when he went after you. And you are very special in his eyes.
You're listening to Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff Johnson has delivered part one of a message called In His Time. Hey, did you know you can hear Sound Doctrine online at sounddoctrineradio.org? This comes in handy should you join us late, miss a study on the radio, or just want to catch it again at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have a free app that makes listening to Pastor Jeff easy on your phone or tablet. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey, and we can also send you a CD copy of this message for a suggested donation of $5 when you call 800-353-7553. At Sound Doctrine, we are committed to teaching you God's Word that you might grow into the person God wants you to be. We rely on the faithful support of our listeners to do this. And if you would like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request this month's featured resource. It's called Humility by Andrew Murray. When Jesus made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, he modeled for believers true humility. Andrew Murray calls this our true nobility and the distinguishing feature of discipleship. Murray calls the Christian to turn from pride, empty themselves, and study the character of Christ to be filled with His grace. It's just $7 when you go online today, sounddoctrineradio.org. Or we can take your request when you call toll-free 800-353-7553. Well, before we leave you, we'd also like to ask you to do us a favor, and that is simply email us. Let us know how sound doctrine is beneficial to you. Are you getting a lot out of these studies? We'd like to know. Drop by sounddoctrineradio.org, and at the bottom of our homepage, there's a place to contact us. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,